Welcome. You're listening to Ask the Doulas, a podcast where we talk to experts from all over the country about topics related to pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and early parenting. Let's chat.
Hello, hello. This is Kristen Revere with Ask the Doulas, and I am so excited to chat with Bianca Sprague today. Bianca is a passionate educator and advocate in the doula community, focusing her expertise on supporting women and queer individuals in the fields of fertility, birth, and postpartum care. As a self-identified super lesbian and a dedicated mother, Bianca brings a unique perspective to her work, emphasizing the importance of balancing professional doula responsibilities with personal life, especially for mothers. She is deeply committed to addressing issues like queer care, combating fat phobia in medicine, and exploring women's rage and its implications. Welcome, Bianca.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be on the show.
Yeah, I can't wait to dive into this important topic. We're going to be chatting about exploring the rising need for doulas and how their care transforms family experience.
Ugh, I have a lot to say on this topic.
Well, let's start with a bit more about your background, and then we'll get into exploring the topic.
Yeah, so I came into doula work. I mean, I would say most people come into doula work because they either had a really incredible birth experience and they want to make sure everybody has that, or they have a terrible or traumatic birth experience and they want to make sure nobody has that. And I sat somewhere in the middle. So my plan was actually to be an OB-GYN. And it wasn't until the birth of my daughter that I realized the relationship I wanted to have to birth was way more the relationship my doula had versus my doctor. And I actually could very clearly identify that I was not prepared to perpetuate the harm that comes from a system that is, you know, designed to have us not trust our bodies. And I mean, if we look at the stats for birth outcomes in Canada and the US, our medical system is not looking so good. I remember pacing after my birth, like I'm bouncing. You guys can't see me, so, but I've got that newborn bounce with the hands on the chest.
And it never goes away.
It never goes away. And I remember pacing with my daughter. She was days old. And I was like, what just happened to me? I had the birth that I wanted, but I didn't have it where I wanted it. So I was in a hospital suite and I really wanted a home birth. And I was like, that was way too hard for me to have an uninterrupted experience. I felt a lot of rage around it. I felt cheated and robbed. And I knew that I didn't want anyone to feel like how I felt. I also was in an unsafe living situation. So I very quickly, you know, once you become a dependent with a dependent in a cycle of abuse, I was like, I got to get out of here and I need to change the world and I need to protect birth. And so I started my doula organization. And so that was about 16 years ago. And now we train birth workers and folks who work in fertility, birth, and the postpartum period. And then I think as of right now, we're in 49 countries, which is pretty wild.
That is amazing. Yeah, so much growth. And tell us a bit about your training organization. I know some of our doulas have gone through your program.
Yeah. So my organization is called Babomia, B-E-B-O-M-I-A. And you can find us at babomia.com. And my experience as a parent, I've caused me to want to go into doula work. And then the experience I had with my doula training, which at the time I loved, but it wasn't until I went to my first birth that I was like, oh, I'm wildly unprepared because you can't learn everything you need to know in a weekend. Then I started building a community where we were building a training together of all the things we wished we had. And then that's really how Babomia came to be. We used to teach in Toronto and then we had so much, you know, there was a lot of requests for people who lived outside of Toronto that we moved exclusively online in 2012. So we've been teaching in the digital space for a while and we really want people to go in, like come out and go into the field of doula work, feeling really supported, understanding how to run their business, understanding, you know, feminist values, and having them and their family ready for the type of work they're going to do. Because, you know, tying into the question that we're talking about today about the rising need for doulas, there's something particularly magical about doula work. is that it's a cycle. And so doulas protect birthing and new families. And the work of being a doula also is really healing for the doula and their families, because you get to be that voice you didn't have, or you get to reconnect to that feeling of empowerment that you did have if you were supported in your birth. So I would say, you know, being a doula, not only have I protected hundreds and hundreds, no, thousands of families over the almost 20 years, I also became a better parent and a better partner and a better human and had a better relationship with myself.
Beautiful. And I feel like your program is one of the first in the fertility space. There are a lot more fertility doula trainings, but you were early on seeing that important need.
Yeah. I mean, anybody here listening, how you got pregnant impacts how you feel about your pregnancy, which impacts how you experience your parenting journey. So, I mean, we know recently you had somebody coming on talking about their IVF journey and the risks of postpartum depression. And I mean, we see this. And so I think it's a real, like, we can't break up, which is why in our training, every person leaves certified as a fertility, birth, and postpartum doula, because it is one journey. It's not like you can just look at any one part of it in a vacuum. And so that's something that we're really proud of to have that. We also were the first to remove gendered language of the training organizations. We were the first to adopt an anti-racist, anti-oppression policy, and we are the first and only to include therapy for all of our students and alumni, so that we send healed healers out into the world rather than folks who have their traumas activated or just, you know, reliving it in a cycle with their clients.
Changing the system and, you know, not only the work as a doula, but training future doulas to better support families. And I do feel like I've been a doula over 10 years, and certainly there's so much more awareness about birth doulas. Postpartum doula interest is rising and awareness is becoming, you know, more common. I felt like it was, you know, people knew about postpartum doulas in urban cities, you know, like New York and Chicago, but in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I had to do so much education in the past.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so it is exciting that doulas are getting a lot of national publicity and the field is growing. More and more people, I'm sure you're seeing through your training program, want to consider doulas as a profession.
The market research is very promising. I look at it promising because it means, you know, lots of folks are interested in becoming doulas, which I love because I want to train really amazing, grounded, healed doulas. But it also, I get really excited that it's expected to double over the next 10 years, the market. But more importantly, I mean, I love that I'll have students, but my main focus is to have the field of reproductive health protected and have it be a place of safety and joy rather than a place of survival and trauma, and like the goal of just surviving. And so I'm very excited to see how many families are reaching out to inquire about doula support, especially postpartum, which is on the rise. So anybody that loves squishy babies, there's definitely a need for you to go out and help parents. And so it is really exciting to see how many more families are inquiring about doula services, as well as how many more states are, you know, really increasing their awareness and insurance programs for doulas. It's as a field for both practitioner people who want to work as doulas, as well as families who want doula care. It's looking really, really great. I'm excited.
It is. I am as well. And Medicaid, you know, has expanded for birth doula support in many states, including Michigan, this past year. So that certainly makes a difference. And then programs like Care at Fertility, covering both birth and postpartum, has been a real breakthrough.
Yeah, no, there's some good things on the horizon. And so check out what's available locally. There's also lots of doulas who have really cool programs that they support under-resourced families. So if you are a low or no-income family, you should check out your local doulas and see what they have, what kind of programs. We have a program as well where we have scholarships. So if anybody's interested in becoming a doula who's under-resourced, you can head over to babelmia.com/scholarships and you can find all about that, because we don't want any barriers to folks accessing doula care or becoming doulas.
Love it.
Hey, Alyssa here. I'm just popping in to tell you about our course called Becoming. Becoming a mother is your guide to a confident pregnancy and birth, all in a convenient 6-week online program. From birth plans to sleep training and everything in between, you'll gain the confidence and skills you need for a smooth transition to motherhood. You'll get live coaching calls with Kristen and myself, a bunch of expert videos, including chiropractic care, pelvic floor physical therapy, mental health experts, breastfeeding, and much more. You'll also get a private Facebook community with other mothers going through this at the same time as you to offer support and encouragement when you need it most. And then, of course, you'll also have direct email access to me and Kristen, in addition to the live coaching calls. If you'd like to learn more about the course, you can email us at info@goldcoastdoulas.com or check it out at thebecomingcourse.com. We'd love to see you there.
So, Bianca, for our listeners who are not familiar with doula support, whether it's birth doulas, postpartum doulas, you know, share with us a bit about how doulas can transform your pregnancy, birth, and postnatal journey.
Oh, what a good question. So, I mean, doula care comes down to, you know, supporting through the three pillars of physical, informational, and emotional support. And so, you know, if you ask most doulas, you'd say they support birth or parenting or the trying to conceive journey. But what I think is the best part of doula care is that it really allows parents to have that pause and to feel like they're making informed choices throughout their reproductive health journey. And so, unfortunately, what's happening in our current system is there's a real, this goal of risk management. And so we have all these really wonderful obstetric tools that are there if we need to jump in and save somebody. So I like to think of the medical system like a lifeguard, if it's functioning properly, that if you're out swimming, you know, in a crisis, the lifeguard would like run into the water and help you. But otherwise, they let you swim because you're doing your thing. And so these tools are available. But just like if every lifeguard jumped in and grabbed your arms and legs and tried to like do the motion of swimming with you, we're going to run into more issues than if they just let people swim and jump in if there's a crisis. And so we have these tools. So I don't want anybody listening to think any one of the tools have any judgment associated to them. All of the tools we have save birthers and they save babies and they're wonderful. What happens though is we have this practice-based care rather than evidence-based care. And so when we go into our hospitals or our birth centers, all the tools just come at us and typically without consent. Because this belief is if we use all these life-saving tools all the time, this will make it extra good. You know, like when kids are like, well, if one piece of cake is great, I bet five is really great, and it's not. We're actually seeing a decline in outcomes when we use all the tools, and it's not recommended by, you know, the ACOG or the SOGC, and those are the governing bodies for Canada and the US for obstetrics, or the World Health Organization. Like everyone's saying, you know, doctors, stop doing this. And so we need somebody in that room with clients saying, doctors, stop doing this, and literally like stopping it if the client is not being listened to. And so it's really about protecting our clients, whether, again, we're doing an egg retrieval or we're going in for an induction or we're at home and we're like trying to decide where baby should eat or where they would sleep or how they would eat. You really want somebody there that's going to help you navigate through the actual research around the topic you're struggling with, as well as giving you the space to use your intuition, because you do know what you want and you don't want. Even if you're not sure why you have this like leaning towards one of the options, your body does know. And so we want parents to feel really empowered and to trust that they know how to make the right decision. And if they get to have that protected in birth, they have that reinforced that they're ready to be parents. And they go into parenting feeling really empowered and knowing that they know what is best for their baby and their family, rather than having the complication of like noise around them.
Exactly. Yes. And I feel like there's so much importance in that preparation during pregnancy, whether it's taking a childbirth class, understanding your options, getting resources from your doula, like a prenatal yoga class or a therapist.
Yes.
Really feeling like birth isn't just happening to you, like you have this education and support team behind you.
Oh, that was exactly like it's, we really want birth to be happening through you and not to you. And so I love when my clients at the end of the birth, no matter how it went. So like, we're also open to having that pivot. Like, I really hope it's going to look like this, but I'm prepared if it's going to look like this or this or this. And right. So even if they don't get their first choice, my clients, like 95% of the time at the end, are looking up at me like, this is exactly like, this was right. This felt great because they chose it and they felt really present, and that they got to say no when something was a no, and they got to say yes when it was a yes.
Exactly. And yeah. Certainly a doula's presence in that postnatal phase. So if they're not seeing their provider for 6 weeks and they have questions, you know, we have that follow-up visit, or sometimes depending on the doula, multiple visits and check-ins, and just knowing that you have someone that you can reach out to if you're struggling with feeding and need a lactation consultant, or, you know, need to know if your hormone fluctuations are normal, for example.
Yeah. I mean, your doula is really this like combination best friend and walking Wikipedia in your pocket at all times.
Yeah.
So like, whatever your questions are, you have that support. And, you know, we've lost that experience of the village and those like intergenerational relationships within families. Like, that's been severed. That's been severed. Thank you, patriarchy, for rearing your ugly head yet again.
Right.
And so we have to pivot and we have to create something that is going to create the best outcomes for families working with what we're working with. And a doula can really fill a lot of those gaps that have been left by, you know, just the shift of how we're birthing in this really like isolated way. And then we go home into the postpartum in a really isolated way. And one of my favorite parts of postpartum doulas, I think it's the particularly like magic element of postpartum work, is that there's so much focus on the baby after the baby's born. So like, it's all about the pregnant person and during the pregnancy, and then it's like, they're forgotten. And they really should be centered, because if they're well and centered and nurtured and taken care of, they can do a really great job with the baby. And so between the combination of kind of being an afterthought or being an extreme afterthought, as well as the fact that everybody feels like they are entitled to comment or recommend once you have your baby, it creates this like really interesting place of isolation and suffering for parents, because they have to keep explaining, you know, that they're not spoiling their baby, or they've chosen to whatever, keep the foreskin intact, or they're having the baby sleep in their bedroom or not in their bedroom. Like, all the myriad of choices that parents get to make for their children, they're right. always questioned and challenged. And a postpartum doula might be the first person that that parent has been listened to with no judgment, and like, they don't have to defend their choices. And I know when I do postpartum work, I mean, I haven't done it in a few years because I'm mostly teaching, but you know, could just like watch people stare at me waiting to defend themselves. So they'd be like, so I think I'm going to start just pumping. And I just don't think it's working. And, you know, I know that like, if I pump, they'll still get milk from my body. And they're just like going so fast. And I stop. Right. And I was like, if you want to pump, that's fine. Do you need help cleaning your pump? Do you know how to use it? And to watch them, like, their shoulders drop of like, I don't have to defend myself and this isn't wrong. And I'm like, great. Do you want to talk about why you've chosen pumping? Because I'm, you know, tell me about it. Otherwise, let's get you set up and get you some more water. And we'll talk about what a pumping schedule can look like. And to see that they're like, you're not going to make me explain myself or tell me why it's bad. And I'm like, are there any other changes you're thinking about for feeding your baby? Tell me about those. And just like watching. And they're like, wait, what is happening? Everybody has something to say about what I'm doing and if it's the best thing and if I'm a good parent. And a postpartum doula, like, salt of the earth, like just going in and letting new parents know that they're whatever they've chosen is perfect, and they don't have to do that dance of defending why they're parenting the way they are.
Exactly. It's such a good description of the work that we do postpartum. And I mean, even looking at moms groups and all of the judgment if someone is posting a question, let alone like family or friends. So giving advice.
Yeah, it gets real. I don't even go in parenting groups. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I should see what parents are talking about when it comes to, you know, sleep, because I'm on this nurtured sleep revolution where I'm really trying to talk about sleep in a different way. And I'll stick my head in and it is terrible in there.
It is.
Like, it's terrible. Like it will start with the most harmless question. And then by the end of it, I was like, how did we tie this back to these deep rooted values and judgments when all they wanted to know was, is this car seat? I don't know. Do you like the color of my new car seat?
And right.
Then like, and then at the end of it, they've been told they're a bad parent in 14 different ways. Oh man, it's pretty wild. But I mean, we do see really, really magical statistics around parents who have the opportunity to have doula support. There's like actually pages and pages and pages of studies showing just the improvement in birth outcomes, as well as in parenting outcomes around mental health, the ability to feed from their body, if that's what somebody's choosing to do through breastfeeding, chest feeding, or pumping. There's so many really great things. And we actually over 2020, I don't know if everyone remembers how wacky the world got.
Oh, yes.
And we actually had a really unique environment where we got to, you know, there was lots of areas of research that came out, because when else have we ever had in modern history these really bizarre circumstances where like the world was shut down and medical had shifted, and like, you know, we have really great research from this. And we had the opportunity to see what happens when care providers have no witnesses. And yes, I'm using that language very intentionally. So what happens when doulas are not allowed in the birth space? What happens if for a certain period of time when even partners or family members were not allowed in the birth space? What happens when people went into those birthing suites with the doors closed and they were left alone with doctors? And so we have... I think they did it over 14 months, and the maternal and fetal outcomes were abhorrent. And you know, when we look at mortality, morbidity, and stillbirth, and depression, and like it was so bad. And so I found this fascinating. I mean, I was devastated to see how many birthers for those 14 months had to experience birth and in these ways, and then go into their parenting journey into, you know, after these extremely terrible, after this, like the environment was so not conducive to joy and protection and empowerment. But it was a huge wake-up call for folks that do want to protect birth and for parents. And so we've actually seen a huge rise of parents being like, oh, hell no, when they're going into their birth again, if they did have a birth or they heard about births over the pandemic. And so from this terrible experience, we are seeing this rise for people wanting doulas, for people, you know, demanding more from their hospitals, for like the ability for, you know, this was one of the major TSN turning points for insurance being, you know, there's been a fast track for insurance policies in so many states. TRICARE stood up and listened, and
yes,
they've improved their care. Like everybody was like, oh man, we actually can't trust the medical system as far as reproductive health care. So really great things came from this, but it was a very stark, like the outcomes plummeted over that time. And it was purely because we didn't have witnesses and protectors in the space.
I'm so thankful that doulas were considered essential in Michigan due to our governor. And most hospitals followed suit. And as long as a doula was certified, they were able to go through the process and support. So I had very few clients that I wasn't able to support during the early pandemic.
Oh, that's amazing. It was not great in Canada, the lockdowns. So I managed, because I know the midwives really well, I was doing home births and still allowed, but doulas weren't even allowed to be present in home births. And it
That's
went
devastating.
on. Oh, it was like 18 months. And there were some hospitals that literally nobody could come to the hospital, and then nobody was allowed in the birth or the postpartum. So I think especially in Ottawa, they had it for the longest, but I believe that it was almost, don't quote me on this, anybody, but I believe it was about 60 days where it was no contact, that people birthed alone and went to the postpartum floor alone. Like nobody went into their rooms.
That is just, I mean, devastating overall for the partner, for the doulas, for the nurses who are obviously overwhelmed when they don't have doulas, you know, supporting in the hospital. So, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad. There was a time where one, they actually got pretty dragged, but they weren't even allowed folks Skyping or FaceTiming. And it was, oh man, I can't believe the babies. Like, I hope we do some really great community care for these parents, which can still happen even years later, just to like really, you know, protect and reconnect and do some healing around that, because these circumstances were just very not ideal for all these families to be growing and, you know, feeling really confident in their ability to parent and to trust themselves and to know that they feel safe. And there's a lot of aftercare that will need to be done for this.
I totally agree. And as you mentioned, it's the positive aspect of all of that is that we have some good research for the value and benefit to doula support and the need for support in general, partners being there and the importance they make.
Oh, for sure. You know, birthing, you require the people that make you feel the most safe around you. We need the environment that really lets that oxytocin flow. That's that love hormone. And you want to just feel safe and relaxed and have that ability to, you know, let go and trust your body as much as you can in labor. And the conditions of, you know, a cold room with all the lights on and not your people that you love the most around you. It's not the best environment for you to feel really safe and relaxed and to let those hormones and those muscle groups do what they need to do. So it's, you know, we always say as doulas that we want people birthing in similar circumstances to how they would probably have sex. No, I know not everybody likes a dark room and warm. And
right.
Some people are a little like, you know, more interested in something zanier, but most people have a certain circumstance that involves privacy and intimacy and security and the ability to, you know, feel comfortable and vulnerable. And so we really want to, you know, try to recreate that as much as possible. Even if you are birthing in the hospital, we can do that with lighting and music and candles and different scents, if that appeals to you and your hospital says okay. And then your people that keep you safe and they're cheerleading and protecting you and creating this like bubble of safety for you.
Yes. So any final tips for our listeners, Bianca?
Well, if you are not sure about doula care, I would highly recommend checking out some of the research, because some of the things you might be the most worried about, like you might be worried about an episiotomy, or you might be worried about if you're going to be able to feed from your body or not, or worried about a postpartum mood disorder or a C-section or an operative birth or a belly birth, whatever term feels the best for you. If any of these are your worries, doulas are the fixes for them. And so, you know, you can check out some of the research there. That's, you know, you can literally just Google benefit of a doula and there'll be journal after journal after journal. And if you are curious about becoming a birth worker, we've put together a page for you. You can check out at bebomia.com. That's BEBOMIA.com/ask. And there's a code there too, if you want to find out more about our classes and services, and it's ask 15, and you'll get 15% off of everything.
Love it. And you're also on quite a few social media networks. If you'd like to share those, Bianca.
Yeah, sure. You can find us at, you know, pick your channel, and it's / Babomia Inc. Again, BEBOMIAINC. And you can check us out. Our TikTok's just growing, so it's not the best place, but our Instagram's awesome, and we have lots happening over on Facebook and on YouTube. So you can hang out with us there in all of those places.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today and sharing all of the great need items for both birth, postpartum, as well as fertility doulas.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Kristen. I really love your podcast and I love everything you guys are doing.
I feel the same way about you. Thank you so much, Bianca.
Thanks for listening to Ask the Doulas. For more information about Gold Coast Doulas, visit us on our website, goldcoastdoulas.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. Thank you. Remember, these moments are golden.